gone for much too long. Stand up, please, and say I am free. Don't forget you are welcome home, welcome home.
Come with me on this happy trip back to the promised land. On this happy trip back to the promised land.
So we want to welcome everyone to our Sankofa Repatriation Assistance podcast. I want to welcome you to our show tonight. Tonight we're going to have a very special show. We'll be having a very special guest joining from Ghana. How you doing, Sister Ya?
I'm fine, thank you. How you doing, brother?
Doing great. I'm going to turn it over to you and I'll give you the opportunity to introduce your guest.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody who's tuning in and listening to the show. I want to introduce a very special friend and guest. This is, and I go way, way, way back. Well, y'all going to hear all about it. This is Azabacha Uhuru, also known by her performance name is Future, coming straight out of Memphis, Tennessee. She's currently in Ghana. She's been traveling to Ghana since, like 2006. I'll let the sister correct me if I'm wrong. She started going before me. It was because of this sister that I started going to Ghana, because she was just telling me, you got to go. When I first met this sister, she's going to tell y'all, I had the weave, the perm, all of that nonsense going on. And when I met her and started talking to her, I had decided I was going to go natural and cut all that mess out of my head and stop wearing all of that nonsense. But I used to be, y'all just don't know. I'm not the same sister y'all I was back then. When I met this sister, I went in and I said, I'm going to grow some locks. And I started going to her shop, her natural hair salon in Memphis, Tennessee. Big up to Memphis, Tennessee. The shop, and she's still in business today. All known all over Memphis. But if you see anybody in Memphis with the locks, with the natural hair, they know Future. Her Future be hooking them up. And so I went in there, and I was telling, I said, I want to cut all this perm off my head, and I'm going to start my locks. And Future, I don't know if you remember back then, she just made friends with me, it was so nice and welcoming and warm, and she started, talking to me and made friends with me. And during the course of the conversation, she found out I was going to this mega church, not just regular church, mega Southern Baptist. Y'all sister was so sleek, I was just gone with the perm, the weave, and going to a mega white Southern Baptist church. You remember that, sister?
Yeah. A mess.
And when I was just out there, when she found, she was like, "Oh no, sis, we can't just leave you out here like this. You too intelligent, you too smart. We gonna wake you up." And she just started, her and her husband Powell just started sharing so much information with me. I mean, literally, I credit them to this day as the reason why I am the sister y'all know today, because they woke me all up out of my slumber, because I was completely 100% brainwashed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we have been friends ever since then, y'all. So we're talking about way more than a decade, y'all, okay? So, yeah, and she's the one that her and her husband and her kids too at that time, they were going back and forth to Africa so much, and she was like, "No, you gotta go." It was because of her that I fell in love with Ghana, because she was coming back showing me all these videos, everything that was going on. I was like, "Oh my God, I got to get over it." So everybody, I want to welcome y'all. Welcome to the show, my sister, my friend, Azabacha Uhuru, also known as Future. Welcome, sister. How you doing?
What's going on? I'm good. Greetings, everybody, and thanks for tuning in. I appreciate y'all having me on the show. I'm very excited about being a part of the Sankofa Repatriation Program and everything that's going on with it. And I also want to say, I want to take my hat off to my sister, Sister Yah, for the transformation that I have seen in her, and the things that she's doing now is epic, and I cannot go on without being a part of it, because I know where she's come from, and I know where she is and where she's going. She is all the way of Sankofa, as you would want to put it. And to exclaim the Sankofa in every sense of what it means. She went back to her past. She gathered everything, and she is pushing forward, and she is making so many of our ancestors proud. I just want to tell you, my sister, I am so proud of you. And keep
Thank
up
you.
The good work. And I'm with you 100%. Everything that's going on with Sankofa Repatriation Program. Everybody got to get excited about this, because this is going to take, this is going to do what our Honorable Marcus Garvey always wanted for us. It's going to send us back in mass numbers, and we can get ready. It's going to be massive and epic, and I just got to be a part of it.
Thank you so much, sister. Thank you.
I want to let you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself, you and your husband, and what y'all do, what y'all got going on in Memphis. Just give us a little background, and then we're going to get into it. Oh my goodness. Oh, where do I start? <laughs> Well, I just whatever pops in my mind, the most important things or the things that need to be said right now, I just want them to come forward. I've been a community activist for a very long time, even before I was conscious. My mom has always had her, had me and her, all of her seven children all together, and us. We went to prisons. We sung in prisons. We did a lot of work inside of the prison industrial complex, going in and doing, we were doing gospel back then, doing shows and stuff in the prisons, and also feeding the homeless and taking many people in our household. My grandmother, my aunt, my great aunt, they were all foster parents. They had many children that they raised and took care of in the city of Memphis, and they were all from different parts. I did some research and find out that my people were from Brinkley, Arkansas. We moved over to Memphis, Tennessee, and then my father's side, my mother's father's side, are from the Delta, Yazoo City. Basically, we are some southern bred families, and we've always been in the South, and basically we experienced the harsh of racism and white supremacy at its finest, at its intricate detail. We have experienced it, and I've always felt something about the Europeans and the way that they were. I could never put my finger on it because I didn't have the information. But once I was enlightened, and I got that enlightenment as well from my husband. My husband, Power, is my other half, my half. And we accentuate each other very well. We are a power couple. If you want to see black love at its finest, that's what we are being a shining example of, to let our people know we can have healthy relationships and we can have long-term relationships. We have been together since 2000.
Hey, sis, I want to come in right here. Let me come in right here on this point, and then I'm going to let you take it up. This sister and her husband has been an example for a lot of black couples that know them. Everybody wants to have that same relationship that they see with Power and Future. And I'm telling y'all, ask anybody in Memphis, Tennessee. They were the model for me. So I said to myself, watching this beautiful black couple and the way they compliment each other and love on each other and how gentle they are with each other, and that both of them putting each other first, I said, you know what, This was coming out of my divorce, because I think I was going through my divorce when I met you, sis. Coming out of my divorce at my first marriage, and I knew, I said, you know what, the next time I get married, because I always knew, I'm a family. I said, the next time I get married, I'm going to be in a relationship just like these people have right here, because for me, they were a model relationship. You know, I've seen older couples, but I'm talking about in terms of my own age group, who wasn't having a whole bunch of drama, who wasn't just, you know, going through a lot, wasn't no cheating, wasn't no abuse. I mean, just very supportive and loving of each other, and whatever they wanted to do, they were complimentary. So I said, that's what I'm going to get. And so let me just tell y'all a little something. A lot of people don't know this, Future. I met my husband on, y'all remember Black Planet?
Yes, ma'am.
Y'all remember Black Planet? Yep. I met my husband on Black Planet. Now, I wasn't going on Black Planet to look for anything. It was just that Future and Power were talking so much about Ghana all the time. I said, I want to go meet some goddamn people, because I want to talk to some goddamn people. I want to, you know, just get to know some goddamn people because of what they kept telling me about Ghana. And I was like, I want to just know some goddamn. And my husband was really one of the first goddamn people I met, and just talking about Ghana. And we started out just on a friendly basis, because I wanted to know about Ghana so much because of what these two just kept telling me. So guess what? Over the course of talking and getting to know each other, we kind of, you know, bonded, my husband and I. And so I told Future, I said, there's this guy. Because they were her and her husband getting ready to go back to Ghana. And I said, I met this guy. I've been talking to him for some months online. I think I like him. I said, but I want you to go over there. Hey, when y'all go over there, I want y'all to go meet him. You remember that?
Yes, ma'am.
And
we sure did.
So they did. I told him. He didn't know that I was sending them to scope him out, right? Mm-hmm. So I hooked them up, and they hung out with him and everything, and got to know him, and they just fell in love with him. And I trust that justice. So when she came back and said, "Sis, you got yourself a winner right there. You got a winner."
Right, I sure did.
What
did you say, Dwayne?
That was what time frame we're talking about? How long ago was that?
Oh, 2008. It was 2008. Yeah. So when she came back, and I trust my sister's judgment, because I know she was not going to be, if he would have been a loser, she would have been like, nah, cut that zero, you know?
Oh, yes.
So they met him before I did. So he's on her husband said the same thing. Yeah. He says, yes, sir. You got yourself a winner. Go ahead. Do what you got to do. I said, okay. So And here we are. Here we are, still married and doing everything. But I took my sister and my brother's recommendation, and we all still friends today.
Nice.
It's true.
So with that being said, sis, I'm going to let you pick up and go on back to what you were talking about, because we want to get to Ghana, because that's what the people want to hear about.
Let
us know when did you start going to Ghana. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, and for the record too, I wanted to say all men do not cheat. Me and my husband have been together since we met in 2000. He has never cheated on me, and I have never cheated on him. We have not ever committed any type of crime, love crime against each other. We have been totally there for one another since the day we met. We have actually been in each other's face from the very first day we met. And here we are 20 years later. So I want to explain that to black people.
Black love.
For
real
us to understand. Black love is real, and it can withstand anything. My only advice to you is to never cheat and always communicate with each other. Always be committed to communication. But anyway,
Be supportive.
Yes, be very supportive. Yes. So fast forward to we went to Ghana for the first time around the time of the recession in the U.S. we had no choice but to take the opportunity to bag up off of the European way of life and the systematic way of living, from mortgages to insurance to just demonic strongholds over us. We decided that we would let all of it go and release ourselves and go to the motherland. And that's what we did. It was one of the best decisions we ever made in our lives. And we've been living in Ghana ever since. We live here 3 months out of the year, sometimes four. You know, whenever we can come back twice a year, we come back and stay twice a year. But as we're getting older now, we're feeling more of the sense to be on the continent more. So I'm sure that is changing as time is flowing by. I would be going into my 50th birthday year. My sister Yaa is going to be turning 50 before me. And it's my big
sister. You ain't got to tell everybody I'm older than you. It's only 1 month now. Stop.
Because I always be older than everybody around me. So I'm happy to have somebody that's a couple of months older than me. But anyway. So it's just been a dynamic path. And
we need to do
I'm
a big
excited.
50 and back. See, we should do a big 50 on the continent. I'm playing in Ghana. We should just go all
yes.
out.
All 50-year-olds. Everybody turning 50 years old this year. We need to do a big birthday bash right here on the continent. For sure.
We're going to cut us. That's a good idea. Let's get together. If you're turning 50, contact us and let's all plan a big 50th birthday bash. If you was a 1970s baby, let's do it.
Let's do it, 1970s baby. Yes.
So,
go ahead.
Are you able, huh?
Yeah, you just went out a while ago, but continue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How are you able to stay for months at a time on the continent?
Oh, it's relatively easy. It's just having a business in the States. Off the back of my ancestors, I have built a community of people, and I support the community very well for many years, and the community supports my family and I. We all are together. Our children, we have two children. We have four beautiful grandchildren. And we have adopted so many. We call them God children. The children that had come to us through an ancestral view. And we have them, and we run a business around the clock in the States that supports all of us. As a whole, we work together, and that really is what's able to withstand us while we are on the continent, living, relaxing, rejuvenating ourselves, soaking in, being in the land of our ancestors, and as well doing research and other things that we're attempting to make manifest on the continent for many more people to come, whether they're blood kin or God kin or destined to be in our presence, where we can provide them the positive energy to do the same or something in this, you know, this mindset.
Okay. So the key thing I want our listeners to hear that the sister is saying is she has a business on the continent, here. That business keeps working. People are working and have her business running, so that when she and her husband decide that they need a break and they need to get away from this place and go away, because y'all been in Ghana right now from January, y'all not coming back until April, right?
Exactly. We're not coming back for some time. And it's like that on purpose, because we work really, really hard when we're in the States. We work 5 days a week and off days as well, because we have to make sure we do the things behind the scenes to make a successful business. When you're an entrepreneur, you have on many hats. So, you know, we have to work really 7 days a week. And when we're not sleeping, we're thinking about things that we can do to improve and bring more people you know what I'm saying, into our light so they can see how they can do the same thing for themselves.
Yeah.
So that's how we make it work.
So being an entrepreneur is what?
Being an entrepreneur, what?
Tell you, being an entrepreneur is what gives freedom to move around.
Yes, yes.
Working
yes,
for
I
somebody
that,
and clocking in and waiting for them to tell you when you can take a 2-week vacation is not the move.
It's really not. It really puts us back into a slavery set. It kind of keeps us from moving. It keeps us immobile. It makes us, and we've always been a mobile people. We have to read our history and understand more than just, you know, the idea of the things that we did. We have to take notice to us moving and migrating and moving around the continent and moving all over the place. We have never been a stagnant people.
Right.
We've always been mobile.
Thank you. We moved around. Yeah, you see. See what happened was when these people came with these, and it wasn't African people who created these borders. It wasn't African people who decided that you needed passports to move and to get visas. These are not things that came from us because we moved around. If you know anything about Renupo Rashidi, you will find African people everywhere on the planet of the earth, not because of slavery. Not all the time because of slavery. We move and trans-navigate the globe. But some kind of way, some of our people have got into this mindset that, oh, well, our ancestors died in place, so we have to stay here. I don't know what that's about.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't.
It's foolishness.
You go where the opportunities are. Yeah, it's foolish.
That's right.
You go where the opportunities are. And right now, the opportunities are on the continent of Africa. Now, just tell them about... We want to give them the real. We want to give them the real because we don't want to paint this a rose colored like a everything is perfect in Africa. You have been there just like me with Doom Sword. For y'all who don't know, Doom Sword means lights out. Okay,
yes.
When them lights go out, and then your America, you know what I'm saying? Because sometimes, I'm telling y'all something. When I was living over there for those 2 years that I was there consistently, from landing until leaving, just going back since then, but man, when we went through Doom Storm, everybody know about when 2014 to 2015 when the electricity was just atrocious. You remember that?
Yeah.
And life was just not steady at all. It's not like that right now, Donna, but me and my children coming from the States, we endured. And I'm talking about pulling water up from the well, because we had two wells on the land, on the house that we were living on, water wells. You know, and I grew up in Mississippi, so I'm used to well. We had well in Mississippi, you know.
Right.
Your own source of water. Now I realize the value of having your own source of water and not really being so dependent on the government like water. So, but yeah, I mean, I growing up in Mississippi in the 70s, I hadn't had to do that all the way until that's how I'm going to do for it. That lights out, and I had to go out there. So, drop it down. With my pull that water with that rope. You know, I'm talking about imagine me bent over, pulling that. I'm talking about many, many feet, dropping the bucket down and dipping it down to catch water and pull it up. And then, guess what? Having to pour it in a bigger bucket and wash clothes by hand.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't seen nobody wash clothes by hand since I left Mississippi as a child. But here I was in Africa doing it. And I didn't really, it wasn't really all that, you know what I mean?
I don't think there's not so much anything wrong with that, because it is these little things that you do together as a family that builds memories. So yeah, and it's not to say that you don't like the convenience of being able to turn on your tap and get some water. Yeah, you like that convenience, but when you're able to do these little things, go to a well, pull water, it is those little things that build memories for the kids.
Yeah.
They'll talk about that forever.
It's true. You know what? I mean, sitting next to me and washing rinse and wring them out on the clothesline. These are things that I remember seeing my mother and my aunt do when I was a small, small child in Mississippi, right? So, but after a period of time, I'm not going to be done. And that's when I called my husband up and I was like, I don't know when these lights are going to get right. I got to get out of here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I endured it for like a year before I said, you know what? I need a break. This is too much. But I, you know, at the end of the day, there are some things you can do to counter those things. And that's why me and my husband now, we're like, okay, well, we're going to include solar into the cost of our house. You know what I mean? So that we don't have to deal with that. Because I'm getting older now. Like I said, I'm turning 50 this year. I'm not trying to be pulling up no buckets of water and washing no clothes. If you prepare properly, like including the cost of solar into your housing, then that's something you can, you know, counter. You don't have to deal with that so much. But since, what are some of the other things that you want to bring to the people awareness? These people who want to look at living in Africa through rose-colored glasses and thinking that everything is just going to be so perfect when they get home. What are some things you want to bring to their awareness and their thinking?
Yeah, the rose-colored glasses has to be clear and transparent when you come to the continent. It's just no doubt about that, because, you know, we have this this idea that when we get to the motherland, everything is going to be all right. It's going to be fine. But there are some problems here, some issues, but it's things that I definitely would need more time to get off into. I don't want to just go into them and then leave them there and leave people puzzled. But you have to watch out for people scamming you. You have to watch out for, you have to know how to negotiate prices when you're here. You have to know that there's a barter system in place that you really have to take advantage of, and normally the first price is not the right price. That you can negotiate all the way down. You have to know how to communicate with other with Ghanaians to learn the way to negotiate. You have to know the price of things. So sometimes you might have to pull a Ghanaian to the side or ask them, oh, how much do I pay if I want to ride from one area to the other? What is the normal price? What should I pay? Because when the taxi driver pull up on you, he might tell you something extremely high. But it's just the way they do things here, because when they have a lot of people coming in from America, from the UK, the perception is that we have a lot of money. I mean, the perception
is so false.
It's so wrong. I tell Ghanaians and people that we are around, I say we saved a lot. We have to sacrifice and save money forever to be able to come. We can't spend money every day on everyday things. A lot of times we have to sit at home. We don't go out to eat because, of course, we're vegan.
Yeah,
we have to cut off. We have to sacrifice for the greater good, which is coming home to the land of our ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then we have to take advantage of things that have been put in place by the transatlantic slave trade descendants, our ancestors that endured, that put things in place on in the U.S. as well. I mean, that's those things that belong to us. We have inherited a legacy that we have to look at it differently, you know, as people always saying, oh, our ancestors died for the right for you to have the vote. That is just not the majority of everything that we need to look at. The politics and the system of oppression and the system of racism and white supremacy thrives on us being a part of it exactly how they made it. We have to rebel against that, and we also have to implement the resources that our ancestors made on in the U.S. soil. You know what I'm saying? And take advantage of us being able to move around and have the advantage of the U.S. passport is our advantage because our ancestors made it like that. It's not because somebody gave us anything. Our people, that we shed blood, many tears, just thinking about how our ancestors endured slavery and snatched away children from our ancestors. Our children are our prized possession. And to understand that and what our ancestors have gone through and what they continue to watch us endure after all of this time, and we are still going and thriving. We haven't been washed off the face of the earth as many have tried to do to us. They are proud of us, and we have to understand we need to be proud of them and move in the power of our ancestors making things be mobile and moving out mountains and moving away adversities and things that has always kept us in a stronghold position. You know, the prison system and everything that our family and our friends and our family members are going through. We have to understand that we have to rebuttal against those systems. And the best way that we can do that is about getting out of there and coming home to the land of our ancestors and planting our feet in the soil. And what better way to do that? And I'm going to bring this on in so we can talk about the Sankofa repatriation program that my sister has put on. I am so excited. I'm so excited. Y'all gonna have me start speaking Chui around here. I'm so excited. Pacho, why? Oh, my God. It's awesome.
Yes, sister, can you tell them about the, thanks for that plug, but you know what, I want you to tell them about the difficulties our people have without a program like the Sankofa repatriation. What have you witnessed over the years? I keep telling people, and I don't think they understand, the vast majority of people who are able to go and stay successfully are older people, but we don't want to wait until
they
retire for this.
It's true. I'm not in retirement. I ain't planning on doing it no time soon. But I tell you one thing. She is right and truthful in what she's saying. Our people that are here in Ghana, I know many other repatriates, and they are a large, older, elder crowd of people, and they are living off pension and retirement. And they did their duty, they did their job when they came here. They planted their feet and did the best that they knew how. And when I got here, when we got here, we realized that there was a big deficiency in a program that would be in place for us. We had people that said, oh, come stay. You can come and stay here, you can come and stay there. But we did not know that it was agenda behind it. And that's what really hurt a lot of the people that came here that are our age group and younger, is because when we had diasporans that have been here for many years, they all went into the bed and breakfast and the lodging business because they knew at some point in time we were going to be needing to escape from the United States of America and come back to the land of our ancestors. And we were going to be needing some black folks concerned about where we're going to be staying at. That's just a period point blank. We want to know where we're going to be staying at. and what we going to be doing and how we going to be getting around and what it's looking like around there. That's what we say in the
and
South.
And there has never, prior to the Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program, and this is why I created it, based on my observation, the younger people are struggling to step. And I'm not trying to put down the older people, but the truth of the matter is they want you to stay at their place, but they want some money for it. You know what I mean? And also, just like a lot of the continental African, guess what? These older retirees, they want to charge after, they want some money. They don't want no Ghanaian money for you to stay. They want some U.S. money. And when you are moving to Africa and you got a budget, even if you go there with, say, $20,000, if somebody taxing you, you know, hundreds of dollars a night or something like that to stay, that's reducing what you're able to do something with. You know what I'm saying? So, exactly. So I said, you know what? Nah, We got to, and I have been telling Future and some other people, I said, we need something in place to help. Because there are a lot of brothers and sisters who have gone and come. We go and come. Now,
yes, let me tell you about some of those stories.
Yeah, we go and come because we come over here, we make some money to do something. You know, to build build something till we get to a point where, okay, now I can go and stay. That's taking a lot of time and effort, and we cannot go piecemeal like that, guys. Listen to me very carefully when I tell you this. If you want these African countries to stand up and take notice and say, you know what, these people are bringing added value, you have to go in mass migration. This is what Sankofa Repatriation Program is trying to do. We're saying we want our people to pull our little pennies together, and we're going to bring in 100 strong deep every 6 months and set up business. You see, and we're not coming begging or nothing like that. Matter of fact, we're going to open up businesses, and we're going to hire people, and we're going to create jobs. And then when those governments see that, and when the people, not just the government, but the local people see that, guess what? They'd rather it be you than the Chinese. They'd rather it be you than the Lebanese. They want us.
That's
true. The government rather it be you to get these contracts to build roads and do infrastructure. They rather it be you. They don't. But you're not coming. You see what I'm saying? So we got to get our shit together, guys. We have to really get out together. You know what your brothers and sisters on the continent know? They know that you're not going to beat them with no damn cane like they saw that Chinese guy in Kenya did. They know you're not going to.
Oh, my goodness.
They know you're not going to spit on them. You see?
Yeah.
And they know that you're going to treat them like a human being, like a fellow brother. So they really, literally saying, we want you people to come. So
yes.
I'm saying, and guess what? We can drive those other people out, because when you come set up shop next to that Chinese guy that's selling electronics and cell phones, but you're going to be kind to your people. You're going to treat them like human beings. That Chinese guy is going to be driven out. You see, you don't have to. We don't have to go to war with these people. All we have to do is set up shop, and our people will prefer it be you. They will come give the money to you rather than the Lebanese man or the Chinese man or the white man. But we got to get our stuff.
Come and do the same thing that you are doing in the U.S., and you can be comfortable and straight. I have seen so many people that have came here. They sold everything. They came in, they got money out of their 401k. I mean, they tried to come here and stay, but because there is no program in place, and really, when you come here, there's a process that you have to go through to actually get your residency and all of that stuff here. But now, since the year return, things are really changing now. Things have really catapulted way forward, way faster, where you don't have to go through that long process, and people are getting their ancestry DNA done, finding out that they are Ghanaian, they're finding out that they're from West Africa, East Africa, wherever, and people are saying in their own personal stories, that they have been granted citizenship. Check them out on YouTube. It's different people that have got their ancestry done and gone to different countries, including the celebrities. They have gone back to the country of their came up on their DNA ancestry, and they've been granted citizenship. There is land that's available, and even if you don't get free land, the your U.S. dollar goes so long, it's gonna feel like it's free. It's gonna feel like it's free, and you ain't got to worry about nobody standing over your head, taxing you left and right, trying to take your land from you once you plant your feet in the soil. It's amazing the
thank
positive.
You for bringing it up. Thank you for bringing it up. Listen, guys, you know, I know all of y'all listening to this call know somebody who got their land took from them over here because of some back taxes. There ain't nobody taking your land in Africa over no back taxes.
Yep, that's what we talked about in the last show. Houses that's been in your family for many years. So, Sister Azabasha, there's one question I have for you. You had talked about, you know, paying the fair price for things earlier on and be mindful of someone charging you the right price. But I want to point out that in some countries where there's a lot of micro businesses that come together to be a part of the economy, you might find that small players, they might quote a price for a service. They might put it a little bit over market because they expect you to like counter or try to bargain with them. And by the time you're through bargaining, you'll be right at the point where they want to get. It's understandable when you have a lot of micro businesses operating within an economy. I want you to speak to one particular topic. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'll come back to it.
Yeah. So I wanted Sister Azabasha to speak to one particular topic on the matter of building. Let's say you have some land there and you wanted to build a house. How do you go about it so someone doesn't overcharge you on the labor costs for building?
Basically, I have land. My husband and I, our family, we have acquired almost 2 acres of land here in Ghana, and we've had it for almost 5 years now. The first thing that we did when we got our land was plant some seeds to put palm trees, coconut trees, jackfruit, and some other trees that takes a while before we start harvesting. That's the first thing that we did. So now our trees are going to harvest, and we are natural farmers now. So once our trees start bearing fruit, we will be pushing out our original stuff from our own land out into the agricultural system to get out, you know, just like a regular Ghanaian. That's what people do. You have people growing cassava everywhere. You have neem trees everywhere. You have moringa everywhere. You have mangoes everywhere. You have coconuts growing everywhere. So
it's
just natural to have food somewhere for anyone that is hungry. Is always some food available. So don't believe the hype about how the Europeans have painted starvation and the babies with the big stomachs and the flies and people are hungry. That's the same old stuff they've been telling us for many years, because when you see those places, they have been created by corporations that are taking all the natural resources, and the people can't grow their own natural seeds anymore and plant fruit and trees and plants and herbs. And that's why you have famine in certain areas. which are isolated areas that have been created by corporations that are just taking and stealing the resources and draining it and creating a piece of land where people can grow for many, many years.
And
so
I'll say that
we have those areas.
The land in Ghana is extremely fertile, but what I want to ask the answer to Brother Dwayne is referral. That's the answer to your question.
Okay.
You have
to
get referral. Don't just run out here and hire anybody from the house.
Uh-huh.
They can build your house. Somebody that has their house built, and you find out, okay, who did you use? And this is how you do it. You refer.
Like you would do if you was building a house and you moved from where you are in the States, or you moved to Atlanta, or you moved to Texas, and you want to build your house. You're going to check out people. You're going to do your research. You're going to find out what kind of work they did. You're going to look them up and Google them and see what kind of remarks or what kind of reviews they have, you know, before you use them. Or you're going to try.
Mm-hmm. If you meet somebody that had their house built, they'll tell you, my mason was great, but my electrician sucks. Don't use this person. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's just by referral. That's it. And normally the main contractor is the one that will get the subcontract. Same way we do it over here. The good thing about building in Africa, and sister can attest to this, and it's the same way in the Caribbean, how people from the Caribbean, you can build in phases. You don't have to. If it takes you 6 months to get the money to put the foundation in, you can do a little bit at a time. And this is the same way they do it in the Caribbean. And then you can come back, no work can be done for 6 whole months. You can come back 6 months later and start putting up the walls. And then you take some more time and save up some more money. And this is how most people build. They build, you know, as they work and save
the
money.
Stages.
Yeah. So you don't have to be pressured to get it all done at once. You don't have to say, I need $50,000 straight. You can say, okay, I got $5,000 right now. Let me go ahead and put the wall up on my land. Now, 6 months later, I got another $5,000. Let me go ahead and start my foundation. You see, you could build.
You can do $1,000 a month.
Can
do $500 a month. It's just according to what you can afford. And if you have the right person in place, they will take care of it. You have to have somebody to watch over your project when you don't know somebody. You have to inquire until somebody leads you in the right direction where you will have a person on the ground working for you that you can pay something to make sure that things are flowing in the right direction for you as well. So it just depends on your situation and how you go about building. But you have many options. The thing about it is that you have options. You're not put in a stronghold, once again, where you're told if you don't have your house built and blase time, code enforcement don't come, and they put this red flag on you, and you have to tear this down. If you don't have it back, you don't build it straight up, it's not none of that going on over here like that.
And the other thing I want to point out, listen, a lot of people feel some kind of way about the fact, the taxi driver is charging me extra. Charging me, and guess what? As a black person, and I'm going to speak specifically on America because that's what I know. There's a black tax. There's a tax in America for being black. A lot of people don't want to discuss it. Matter of fact, I suggest you Google the black tax. You get charged more money in America for everything just for being black. You get charged more money on car loans.
I'm actually in the process of trying to get a mortgage right now and qualifying under FHA mortgage, and they're charging me like a $2,600 upfront charge. I know a lot of other people get charged, but you know, maybe that's somehow they sneak it in there on you.
There's a brother that wrote a book called The Black Tax. And he breaks down all ways that we as just for being black, for no other reason than being black in America. See, this is how they keep our people down. They let other people get take advantage of not having to come up with extra money. This same $20,000-$25,000 car now is going to cost you, that the white guy is only going to pay 0% tax, or maybe 1%, interest, or 2% interest. And you have the same credit score, same income.
Yeah.
You're going to pay more. You're going to pay more because you're black. So a lot of people want to say, the taxi driver, you know, want to charge me more money because I'm from the diaspora. Yeah, he is. Because he is trying to, he's a foreigner. He thinks you don't know. He want to take advantage of that. But guess what? You're getting charged here just for being black.
Contact me. I had posted up on my YouTube channel, which is Living My Best Life in Ghana. You guys check it out. And I had posted up about Ghana, the purse. It was one day, I can't remember in what specific I was saying about Ghana, but I'm always on there just talking about all of the positive interactions I'm having with Ghanaians, because people always say, oh, the Africans don't like us. So I had put it
in
something.
I don't know where that comes from.
It's like crazy. But I put up something, and this brother told me, oh, I'm never coming to Ghana because they overcharge you. The Ghanaians, they really don't like you. They overcharge you for things like riding in a taxi, or they when you ask to buy something, they overcharge you and stuff. And I said, have you ever been to Ghana? No, I've never been to Ghana, but I've been to here, and I've been to there, and I've been... I said, well, I rest my case, brother. If you have never been here, what can I talk to you about Ghana? You have never been in Ghana. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to waste my breath and argue with you about that if you've never been to Ghana.
I live there, and I know how much it costs to go from point A to point B, and I have one of them try to tax me, and I'd be like, come on, guys, stop. You know it don't cost. You know what I'm saying? And when you call them out, they be like, okay. You know, because they know
What will you pay?
Because they know you know. They just do that to foreigners, period. It's not like they don't like you because you black. Mm-hmm. They just think, okay, this is an opportunity for me to get a couple extra, CDs.
Yep. Yeah, I've visited other countries too, and the same will happen there. It's not unique to Ghana. So I want to make sure that all the listeners get Sister Atabasha's YouTube channel. It's Living My Best, that's one word, and then Life in Ghana, another word. So Living My Best, Life in Ghana, that is her YouTube channel. So be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel. So yeah, we have two callers
and
on mine.
And it's on Instagram as well.
Okay, go ahead and
Instagram too.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Go ahead and take the calls, and then I want to get to the film. We'll talk about the film that's coming out. Go ahead.
Okay. Great. The caller you're on, please state your first name and where you're calling from, and let us know the question you have. Okay. It's going to be your turn. You're on. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Yes, you're on. It's your turn.
Hey, one more question. I got a question for you before I get started. When we're online waiting for our calls, how do we know who you're talking to if you have multiple people on the line?
That is true. And when you're using the Blog Talk platform, and I might move to calling out the last four digits of your number, because I noticed that whenever I calls. So I might move to just calling out the last four digits so you know. But there's no way to talk to you before. So until move to a platform that allows that, I might just do the last four. Okay. But your turn.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, this is Ruth Tubb from New York. And I've been listening to the sisters talk. And like I said last call, I'm currently planning on my first trip to Ghana next month, March. I already got everything in motion. But I've been hearing I've been pretty much hearing the conversation back and forth about what to expect, what not to expect, and things like that. Now, my only concern with myself is that, see, even though I feel like I'm ready to make the move to Ghana right now, I'm 42 uh-huh. years old, but I just don't know if I can transition over to the continent right now because of what I do. I'm just a truck driver here. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm comfortable here. I'm making good money here. I'm living very comfortable here in America. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I'm trying to figure out how could that transition over to the continent as far as the money flow is concerned. You know what I'm saying? Maybe
uh-huh.
I'm thinking about maybe half and half, back and forth or something like that. You know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? But
yeah,
but that my concern is that because I know I can't transition my lifestyle right now
uh-huh.
over to the
yeah.
continent.
So I'm gonna ask you
yeah.
one question before I invite Sister or Sister Azabasha. I'm gonna allow you to answer Sister Azabasha, but I'm gonna ask the caller one question. Are you able to get a truck or a semi in Ghana?
I didn't hear that. Could you say it again?
Yeah, the question was, are you able to get a truck or a semi in Ghana?
Yeah, I mean, if that was possible for me to do that, I can probably make that happen, yes.
Okay. I'm
gonna
go ahead, Sister Sabasha.
Yes, yes, brother. Whatever it is that you're doing right now, driving truck, look, it's not anything that's gonna hold you back to bring your trucking company, or if you don't have a trucking company in the States, if you want to create a trucking company in Ghana, you can do that. Nobody will stop you. There is no glass ceiling. There is nothing. Once you come here and you touch down and you see and feel everything for yourself, you are going to see exactly what is needed and where you can fall into that. It's no problem. You can do anything that you are doing, long as you have some capital behind you. You know where you can find trucks. You know that you can go to auctions and you can go in different places in the States. These are the avenues that I'm talking about that our ancestors created in the U.S. for us to be able to do right now to create businesses wherever we are. And now the year return has happened and Ghana is open. They're opening, they're creating trade agreements, they're opening up borders, they're lowering tariffs and import charges and all kinds of stuff. You're going to see when you come, as long as you're in contact with the right people, call, you can contact my husband and I. We can put you in contact or show you around or whatever it is that you need. I don't know if you're coming with a group or however you're coming, but you are going to be able to tell once you touch down and you come back to the land of your ancestors, they're going to put exactly what you need in place. And you don't have to transition to Ghana to stay right now. That's what I wanted to bring up as well. We can't generalize everybody into coming all at the same time and staying all at once. Your lifestyle and the way you live is going to determine how you make your transition. It's not something that has to be done right now at any point in time. Nobody is pushing you, rushing you. Always understand you have options now. Now that you're able to come to the continent on your own and with your ancestors are opening the pathway for you to come back home, long as you are open and you're ready to receive whatever they put in your face and put bestow upon you when you come here, you can do it. You can do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because, yeah, like I said, I'll be looking to connect with either Sister Y'all, somebody around there once we get down, touch ground next month in March. So, thanks a lot.
Okay, so both of our sisters should be on the ground at that time. So stay in touch with us, email or call us. Or email us at admin@sankofarepa.com. And we'll be able to connect.
Yep.
Okay, I know we have another caller, but before we get to that caller, I want to ask our sister
to tell us about the film that your husband just finished recording in Ghana. Tell us the name of it and what it's about.
Okay. The film is called Coming to Africa. It was a movie that my husband, along with his cousin, who was the director, N.Y. Jameson, they collaborated together to bring forth this beautiful movie that the majority of it was filmed in Ghana back in July last year, the year of return. The location, the people that was used in the background, to the camera guys, the sound guys, everybody was Ghanaian, was strictly hired for this film. It was over 20 plus Ghanaians that reaped the benefit financially and supported by a U.S. born African, N.Y. Jameson. My husband helped to write the movie as well. His name is Seifu Power Uhuru, and I'm also a producer in the film. You can look up the trailer, Coming to Africa movie trailer on YouTube. You will see some of the most dynamic Ghanaian actors. Seasoned actors are also in the movie. Nana McBrown, David Danto, some more beautiful people, along with my husband, is a major actor in the movie. And if you all have remember Juice with Tupac, the brother Raheem in the movie, Khalil Kane, the star of that movie as well, is in this movie too. So it's some major players in this movie, and it's due to come out in the United States in May, and it's going to be doing a 5-country tour. So far, it's 5 countries involved: Ghana, Gabon, Nigeria, and 2 more others. That will be premiering the movie as well on the continent. So we're very excited because we're bridging the gap in film. And you can also go to comingtoafricamovie.com, which is the website, and Coming to Africa movie trailer is on YouTube, and spread the word because it's going to be epic. This movie is going to catapult many more movies with U.S. Actors as well as Africans from both sides are coming together to make our film industry well and good without any outside interference. So that was the best thing about this movie. It was really done with push from grassroots, and it's now coming forward. So look forward to that, and please go to YouTube and look up the trailer as well.
And I just want to let our people know the premise of the movie is about a brother who gets frustrated about the conditions and situation in America, and they decide that they want to move to Africa. Is that right, sis?
It's a brother, yeah. He went to Africa for the first time and ended up falling in love with a beautiful African queen. And his life is changed forever. And I'm so sure Sister Yah can contest to that.
Hey, yes, indeed. I can.
Oh, boy.
You know, listen, I think black love can happen no matter what. But one of the beautiful things about intercultural marriages is that we began to break down some of the misconceptions and we understand it with our people from different parts of the world. Whether it's break down some of these things for people to say, oh, I don't like hate, I don't like the make, or they don't like us. And you begin to find out when you fall in love with black people from other parts of the world, that's not true. We have to build in language so that then we bring babies for they get the benefit of both cultures. You know, it's just a beautiful thing. So I just encourage all people to, if you feel like you have to find your mate in your city or in your state or in your country, start looking outside. Start looking in the Caribbean. Start looking in South America. Start looking in Africa. There's too many black people in the world for you to just give up on black people.
True.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Sister, we had a hard time hearing you. Someone asked that you hang up and call back, and I'm gonna put the next caller on here so we can get their question in the meantime. Okay. So, caller, you are on. Please state your name and where you're calling from, and let us know the question that you have.
Okay. Greetings. Can you hear me?
Greetings. I'm hearing you great.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Well, my name is Sister Injideka, and I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia. And peace to you, Brother Dwayne, and peace to my age 50 sisters. I'm part of the 50 Club and up. Woo-woo.
Yes.
Sister Azabasha, I am definitely, my daughter and I, 17-year-old, and I, we are coming on the ground for good in Ghana, September, but I have not bought a ticket. I'm still looking for bargains, and so what is your recommendation, since you're traveling back and forth, what is your best recommendation for airline, one-way? Yes, ma'am. And then I'm going to ask you about banking as well.
Okay. All right. My recommendations for travel is the best thing for you to do is not look for one way. The tickets are going to be higher for one way. You should always buy your round trip ticket. You can do a round trip ticket for cheaper than one way. And basically, you are going during peak season, August, September. These are July, August, September. Around October, it begins to drop down. The ticket prices begin to go down again. But the best thing to do is to add all of the Orbit, Expedia, BookingBuddy.
Just fly.
Add your membership to those. Do your searches late at night after 12 o'clock, between 12 and 2 o'clock in the morning. It's the best time to get a good flight. And then also, when you search for tickets, the more you search after your first time, they're going to start to push the price up. So when you find a good price, you want to close it, clear out your cookie from your computer, and then, or use another internet, like you might use Chrome the first time, use Internet Explorer the second time, or another type of browser service. And also, when it comes to banking, they do have foreign accounts that you can get until you get your citizenship or your residency. They have foreign accounts that you can get at certain banks, like Fidelity, and there are some more banks that you can also do that with. But you have, once you touch down, you can find out those places that you can do it.
Wow, that's powerful information there. I never thought about them, about checking in the wee hours of the morning and having the cookie information so that they can build upon that and then charge me more. That's very good information. In regards to the banking, sister, is it best that I hold on to who I have here in the States? And then what did you mean by a foreign account?
Okay. Foreign accounts are people that does not have Ghanaian citizenship or residency. When you come, there's a process that you have to go through in order to get your residency to
to stay in Ghana for a long period of time, past 60 days, to get extension. So when you come, that's the first thing that you would probably want to do since you're coming to stay. That's a major player for you because you're going to need your account from the U.S. I would definitely recommend that you take advantage of what our ancestors have built for you to have the opportunity to get money to you by any means necessary by keeping an account in the state. Whether it's one, two, or three, it's best to have options. Because you never know when these things will crash or certain things will happen where people try to block your freedom of movement and freedom of options and choices.
Definitely. Let me just I want to reiterate what the sister said. You have 60 days. Once you enter the country of Ghana, specifically, you have 60 days on your visa to stay legally. Don't do like, it's a lot of people. See, people want to talk about illegal. It's a lot of Americans in Ghana illegally. Okay? Because I don't know why just don't go to immigration and do, but see, once you stay illegally, once you stay over those 60 days, every day you overstay, they're going to be charging you. There's a fee for every day you overstay. The last thing in the world you want to do is overstay. Go as soon as you hit the ground, and what you need, let me just be clear, you need two Ghanaians with passports. And now, since there are a number of our people who have gotten their citizenship, it shouldn't be that big of a deal. But you're going to need two Ghanaians who have passports to go with you to the immigration office to sign a bond. They don't have to pay any money. They just sign a bond. The bond is saying, we know this lady. We're going to be responsible for her. She's a good character. She's not over here to do crime, you know, that type of thing. And then one of those people will have to say, I will be responsible for this person if they don't, if they can't take care of themselves. They're not going to be out on the street homeless. It's just basically the same thing as when we are bringing people here. And doing their residency and to bring them into the country, we basically sign an affidavit of support saying, I'm going to be responsible for this person. They're not going to be out here trying to get food stamps and welfare and homeless on the street because I'm going to be responsible. It's basically the same exact thing, okay? The difference in Ghana is the cost for getting your residency is way, 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 way smaller than getting your residency here in the United States. Okay, so definitely do not overstay, because when you overstay, you're creating a problem for yourself. So if you know you're going there to stay, go ahead and get your non-citizen ID card, which is also at the immigration office, and get them and apply for your residency. And then it took me and my children, you know, we didn't even have to pay bribe or dash anybody anything. We paid what it cost. You know, what they say it costs, and it was very insignificant, really. And we were able to get our residency in a matter of, they called us about 4 or 5 weeks to come pick up our passports with our residency stamp in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Great.
I will be
great.
Thank you for that advice. Just saying,
all right.
We'll be seeing you. Your best, yeah.
Okay.
All right, thank you very much for calling in with your questions. We do appreciate all our callers calling in. I think, Sister Yaa, we did lose Sister Azabasha. We'll see if she does call back in. We hope that she do call back in. Sister Yaa, I want to invite you to give us some information on our upcoming event in May. We can't wait for that event.
Well, guys, May 16th, May 17th, we're having the Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program, African Cultural Expo and Gala. The 16th is, guys, we got some wonderful, we got dignitaries coming, okay? We got, y'all seen the flyers. I want y'all to go to the website, check out the flyers. We got a number of dynamic guest speakers coming in. I got some wonderful news that I'm going to be, y'all don't want to miss this. But let me just say this. Get your early bird tickets right now. Go to Eventbrite. Go to Eventbrite and do a search on San Coco Repat. I need whoever's on the phone with the baby to mute. Somebody got a baby. Okay. Go to Eventbrite and put in San Coco Repat, and then the ticket will come up from May 16th to May 17th. You can get your early bird tickets right now at a discount before the 31st of March. Go get your tickets. The ticket is going to go up on April 1st. You don't want to miss this. And y'all, we have a magnificent announcement coming out, something that's going to be going on at the Sankofa Repatriation Assistance African Cultural Gala and Expo. You don't want to miss it. You want to be in the house. You want to take advantage of it. We're going to be making that announcement in the next day or two. Go get your tickets. This is a fundraiser. This is the beginning of our city-to-city tour. We're starting here in the DMV, and we will be moving out from here and going to the next city to do the same exact thing, to spread awareness about the Sankofa Repatriation Assistance Program, garnering the support of our people, because we want to get you home and set up in business. We want to help you get free and break away from this economic oppression that you're suffering, and get you back on the continent and set up so that you can create something for yourself. Be looking out for the news that's going to be coming out, guys. You're going to be so excited. And when we release this information, I think those tickets are going to go so fast. So I don't think anybody's going to want to miss out on what's going to be happening at the expo and gala, Brother Dwayne. Hello?
Just say, yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. That was your baby in the background.
Hello? No. We also have Sister Zabasha back on the line. So I think we have about 5 minutes for her to give her closing remarks and wrap up, so we can close up.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, sis.
Man, so the Sankofa Repatriation Program, anybody that has wanted to be a part of something like this, I mean, that didn't know how to put it together, it has been made and ready for you to go. Make sure you go to the website. Make sure you go and donate. Make sure you just be a part. Whatever you know your expertise is, that you want to be a part of this program to help it get come into fruition as soon as possible. Make sure you all do that, because I'm so excited to be a part of it. As my husband and I, we have dedicated ourselves. We endorse it 1,000%, and we want to do everything that we can to make sure that it's gone. We are even planning to create other programs around it, that whatever sister y'all need, we want to make sure that she has whatever she needs. And just make sure you keep your minds open when it comes to the land of our ancestors. Don't let anybody anymore put negative thoughts in your head about Africa, about landing, about coming to your homeland, to your motherland. The Chinese held China. I mean, yep. The Malaysians have Malaysia, you know, the Europeans have Europe, the Scandinavians have Scandinavia, Croatians have Croatia, and so on and so forth. Black people, we deserve our homeland. This is what's going to make us solid and immovable and have a ground to push forward from that everybody else has. So we have got to take advantage of it. We've got to be a part of the Sankofa Repatriation Program. We got to spread the word like Marcus Garvey did when he had millions and millions of followers, and it wasn't no social network. It wasn't no telephone calls. It was just strictly word of mouth, because black folks know how to get the word out.
Yeah,
so y'all endorse the Sankofa Repatriation Program 100%, just like us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
That is what has always amazed me about the Honorable Marcus Garvey. How was he able to do it? And if we have all these resources available to us today, we have the internet, we have phones, you could call our brothers and sisters. We run into people every day. So we definitely could spread the word. And one thing I want to remind everyone about our mission, that it is not something that is going to come and just go away. It is a marathon. It's not a sprint. You know, it's going to take time. It's going to take us time, and we actually stick through with us. Spread the word. Call up someone and tell them what we're doing. Spread the word. And also make sure that you become a Patreon and contribute to the cause. You can contribute as little as $1. Little as $4 per month.
Absolutely. Great. Thank you so much, sister. I appreciate you coming on the show. Enjoy the rest of your
time
in Ghana. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Anytime. You brother. Just call me and I'll put some more time on my phone and I'll be ready, because there's so much to talk about. This was just a touch of everything that really needs to be going on, the conversations that we need to be having, because it's our time. So it's time for us to do and have these talks, so that we can push everybody forward and give them the perseverance and the wherewithal to know that you can do it. You can do anything. You can do it yourself. We can do it together. Yeah. It just take us to open our minds and change our mindset and come out of that slave mentality. We got to come out of that.
I say.
Mm-hmm. I personally want to thank you, Asabasha, for joining us tonight. We appreciate it. I want to thank you for
thank
all
you,
the
Dwayne. I appreciate my sister, and everybody. Thank y'all so much. And make sure you stay upon the Sankofa Repatriation Program. And don't forget about Living My Best Life in Ghana, YouTube, and Instagram. And coming to Africa movie trailer and coming to Africa.com. Thank you.
I'm going to go check out the trailer, and I really look forward to a big meetup in Ghana. I will definitely be there before the middle of this year.
Yes. All right.
Thank you very much for joining us, sister. Thank you again, Sister Yah. You're always here with us for the podcast. We really appreciate it. Have a great night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
You've been gone, it's an empty home. Come on back where you really belong. You are always welcome home, welcome home. You've been kept down for much too long. Don't forget, you are welcome home, welcome home. Come with me on this happy trip back to the promised land. Back to the promised land.